Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. On today's show, we'll debunk some myths about forensic science and learn how a rural doctor shortage affects some patients. Right now, there's a lack of primary care physicians in many rural areas, and more than half of Missouri counties don't have a single OBGYN specialist. That's according to the State Department of Health and Senior Services. KBIA's Marie French takes us to Macon, where many pregnant women often drive 30 minutes or more to get care.
One-year-old Bryce Graw takes his afternoon nap at home in Macon. His crib is in a toy-cluttered room that he shares with his older sister, Veronica.
Baby Bryce! Bryce, hey, turn around!
Chandra Graw delivered both of them by cesarean section at Moberly Regional Medical Center. 2 days after Bryce was born, he was taken by ambulance to Columbia. Doctors said his heart was abnormally large.
Of course, hormones and everything, I just lost it.
After 7 hours at the Women's and Children's Hospital, good news. His heart was larger than most babies, but so was the rest of him.
Moberly's not used to dealing with babies that aren't perfectly normal. Bryce was born 9 pounds, 3 ounces. So luckily we got to bring him home that night, but that's Moberly.
There are no board-certified OBGYN specialists in Macon. Graw says it's an accepted fact of life there. To get specialized care and to deliver, women often drive to Kirksville, Moberly, or even Columbia. And now women in Fulton face the same issue. The Callaway Community Hospital shut down its obstetrics unit last month. While ultrasounds and emergency deliveries can still be done at Callaway Community Hospital, routine deliveries will have to be done in Columbia. Margie Sable is the director of the School of Social Work at MU. She says rural hospitals may lack some specialized services.
Sometimes the providers might not be specialists, and so they may be fine for providing low-risk care, but if they're not a specialist, if there are complications, then those women would need to be referred.
Macon resident Katie Myers has been to Moberly for checkups 8 times since finding out she was pregnant. 1 month from her due date, she says the lack of access to care has hidden costs.
I lose about 3 hours of work every time I go to the doctor's office.
And she doesn't know if she will need to go to Moberly more often as her due date approaches. Sable says access to good care before the baby is born can indirectly influence infant mortality rates.
One of the reasons that prenatal care is important is because it's a time when you can identify potential problems or complications in pregnancy.
Complications such as preterm birth and low birth weight are leading causes of infant mortality. The number of preterm births in Macon County is not significantly different from the state average, according to the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. But the percentage of women receiving inadequate prenatal care is higher, nearly 18% in Macon compared with 11.5% across Missouri. Despite the obstacles, Myers and Graw are determined to get the best possible care for their children.
I'd rather drive so they can actually already have more advanced equipment to make sure the entire thing's progressing fine instead of at the end go, oh yeah, surprise, your kid has mental problems that the small town didn't catch.
You don't really know unless something occurs, and you don't know that until you go see her, so it's my unborn child. I'll do what I have to do.
Although basic prenatal care is available in Macon, both women prefer to go to Moberly and see the doctor who will deliver their children. Marie French, KBIA News.
KBIA's Charles Minshew helped produce that story. To learn more about inadequate care rates in mid-Missouri, just visit our website. Ask anyone what a forensic scientist does, and you might just hear a description of the latest CSI episode. As it turns out, the truth is far different. Cyril Wecht is a nationally known forensic expert and former president of the National Academy of Forensic Sciences. He recently was in town to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Columbia College's forensic science program. I spoke with Dr. Wecht before his visit, and he began by describing some of the misconceptions people have about his profession.
Well, one of the misconceptions based upon the various television programs is that forensic scientists are also quasi-homicide detectives. That is quite untrue. As a matter of fact, it is more important for me to clarify that than by simply saying it's incorrect information. This goes back to a National Academy of Science report in February of 2009, which made it very clear in strong language that forensic scientists should not be considered as an integral part of a prosecutorial office. Forensic scientists are objective scientists who analyze information, evidence, and arrive at opinions and conclusions. We do not go out and find who committed the crime. We do not work as homicide detectives.
Okay, just to go back to this idea of forensic science being related to the prosecutorial process, I guess it's surprising to me to hear that those two should be separate, because I always considered forensic science feeding into that pretty heavily.
Oh, well, you feed into it, and you work with these people. I'm not suggesting that you're not collegial or cooperative, that you don't engage in collaborative efforts that will ultimately lead to justice, but you are not working for them. That's the difference. Working with is not for.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the National Academy of Sciences, in that warning against forensic science working as a prosecutorial body, I think they also mentioned that certain forensic scientific methods could actually be subjective.
Well, that's quite right. Exactly. That they are not absolute sciences, as so many people in the various forensic scientific fields have purported. But what it says is that people can differ in opinions because there is an element of subjectivity.
And will that always be the case? Do you think that subjectivity is inherent in forensic science?
Well,
or
yeah.
Is it because there's like methods that have to be determined upon and
well,
kind
that's
of instituted?
Well, excellent question. I think that to some extent, the subjectivity can be eliminated. And one way is to separate forensic scientific operations, medical examiner, coroner's offices, so-called crime labs. First of all, cleave them off. That's number one. And don't you see, you create an entirely different attitude and people come to realize that they're different operations. Secondly, you have to continue to refine your techniques and your testing procedures and recognize with utmost candor that some things can be susceptible to different interpretations. You know, I don't think there's going to be a time in the foreseeable future that somebody's going to come up with methodology that is going to, you know, all of a sudden convert the forensic scientific fields into absolute sciences. So we're not going to achieve that level because these are things that deal with human behavior. They're not subject to formulae and mathematical equations.
That's it for Under the Microscope. Thanks for listening. Just a reminder that you can listen to this episode and others on our website, kbia.org.